Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I was just thinking about how blessed we are. When we left the United States to go to Colombia, we had to sell everything basically that we had. We had a few barrels of goodies that we took to Colombia with us, some suitcases, and that's all we had. We stayed there until we felt the Lord wants to come home, and guess what? When we left Colombia, you know what we did? We left everything we had, and we come home with the same suitcases, amen, and about $8,000 in debt. Amen. We started all over. But you know what? I'm blessed today. I've got more right now than I've ever had in my life. Praise God. I told you last year or earlier this year that we bought a house for $750. Is that a blessing or what? Amen. Brother just got here yesterday from California. He brought me a motorhome he's going to give me. Amen. Am I blessed or what? Amen. I don't have anything to complain about, folks. But you know what? When I didn't have anything and I was $8,000 in debt, I wasn't complaining then either. Amen. Because I knew the Lord was going to take care of it all. He never fails. You just be faithful to the Lord and He'll be faithful to you. You take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Amen. Praise God. And so it's good to be blessed. Amen. And you are blessed tonight. Praise God. I think some of you may have had a little rough week, but guess what? It's going to get better. Amen. Praise God. You can be like the fellow that said, somebody said, cheer up, it could get worse. He said, I cheered up, and it got worse. Amen. Some folks are like that, right? Amen. They'd gripe if you hung them with a new rope. Amen. But life's like that. Some folks are just not very happy regardless of what's happening. But I'm going to choose to thank God for His blessings. Amen. Because we're a blessed people tonight. We're a blessed people. I just want to give you a little warning tonight. You live in a world that has a lot of negative stuff to say. So don't let that rub off on you. Amen. People talk about all kinds of negative, bad stuff. But hey, it's just not as bad as it could be. Amen. Praise God. We're a blessed folk. Amen. Gas is coming down. Anybody notice that? Isn't that nice? Praise God. It's not back where it was, but hey, it's better. Praise God. Thank the Lord. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. Election must be coming. But anyhow, praise God. Yes, sir, I did, and I'm in it. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the Word of the Lord tonight, shall we? I want to turn to the book of Matthew, to the 28th chapter, and the 19th verse. Perhaps you've read that. It's a word from Jesus Himself, and this is what He said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I want to teach tonight on this subject, biblical baptism. Biblical baptism. We want to look at baptism tonight, not from the perspective of history, but from the perspective of the Word of God. Amen. I know what history says. I know what history's done. But I want to look at it tonight from the perspective of the Scripture. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. You can see here tonight that the word baptizo is a Greek word, and the definition is written here for us. It says from a derivative of the New Testament, 911, which is a number that Strong uses to identify words. The word means to immerse or to submerge, to make overwhelmed, that is to get fully wet. Amen. And it's used in the New Testament. It's only used of ceremonial ablution, which is, of course, baptism. Amen. So the word baptism means to plunge under, to immerse, to submerge, to get fully wet. That's what the word means. And so that was the way that people baptized in the Bible. And that's the way we baptize today. Because that's just simply what the Scripture says, and it's what the Scripture teaches. There are several types of baptism in the Scripture. We've read this verse. This is the commandment. Everybody say commandment. Not a suggestion that Jesus gave to us. And he was not big on suggesting. He just spoke with authority. The Bible said he spake not as the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one having authority. And so Jesus spoke with authority. But there's some Old Testament types that I would like for us to look at here of baptism. One of them is the creation. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was up on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. This is much a type of life in sin before we come to Jesus Christ. We were without form. We were in darkness. We were in deep in sin. And in the waters of baptism, something happened, didn't it? The Spirit of God moved on us. Hallelujah. And our sins were washed away. Our sins were blotted out. So it's a type. The moving of the Spirit of God upon life is a type of baptism. Noah in the Scriptures is a type of baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 said, which sometime were disobedient, even once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Saved by water. Amen. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Noah and his family got into the ark, the same waters that destroyed those who were not believers saved the believers. Amen. They were lifted above the flood. Hallelujah. Sin did not survive the flood or the water. And sin still cannot survive the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. When we're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins cannot follow us out of the baptistry. Hallelujah. Amen. They're like the unbeliever in the time of Noah. The sin in the time of Noah was destroyed, while the family that was obedient to the Word of God rose above the flood and were saved even in the time of the storm. What about the Red Sea crossing? Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud is a type of the Spirit of God, or Spirit baptism. It cooled them. It led them and was their guide through a trackless wilderness. And when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. It was a pillar of fire by night to warm them and to keep them. And so it's a type of Spirit baptism. But the crossing of the Red Sea was a type of water baptism. If you remember, when they came to the Red Sea and the enemies were coming behind them, the Lord parted the seas, didn't he? He let them go through the sea on dry land. And when they got to the other side, the armies of Pharaoh followed them into the Red Sea, and then God closed up the Red Sea and destroyed their enemies. Hallelujah. And so the next morning, when they went down to the seashore, they saw the armies of Pharaoh just washing up on shore. Hallelujah. I'm just saying tonight that in waters of baptism, our sins stay and we're delivered. Amen. We rise to walk in newness of life, but sin stays behind and sin is destroyed and washed clean in the name of Jesus Christ. So the type of the Red Sea crossing, that's a type also of baptism. The Bible said the Jordan River crossing, when the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. You see, they were coming out of the land of wandering, and they were going into the promised land. And Jordan was a crossing into the promised land. Hallelujah. Baptism is a promised land. Amen. It's one way we get into the promise, isn't it? Thank God. The promise is that if I'll be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, He'll wash away my sins. Hallelujah. I'll enter into a new life. I'll enter into a new covenant with Jesus Christ. And so I love the fact that we can cross over. Israel went into a new land. We go into a new life. Praise God. So the Jordan River crossing was a type in the Bible of baptism. In the temple and in the tabernacle, they also had a symbol that was a symbol of baptism. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 30, "And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not." Amen. Or when they come near to the altar to minister or to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So if you remember in the Old Testament, a tabernacle, and later on in the temple, when they came, the first thing they came to was a brazen altar. The altar was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of death. Biblically, it's a type of repentance. You see, if we don't repent before baptism, then we just become wet sinners. That's all that happens. But if we are repentant, and we go past the brazen altar and we sacrifice to the Lord and we die to our sin and ask God to forgive us for our sins, then we're ready for the next, which is the brazen laver. At the brazen laver, they washed. Amen. And before they washed, then they could enter in and give worship and praise unto the Lord and do the ministry that they were supposed to do in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. But washing was necessary, wasn't it? The Bible said they washed lest they die. It was important. It was vital. It was not optional. Amen. Baptism, folks, is necessary. It's just part of God's plan. It's just part of God's plan. And I know there are, again, historical teachings that it's not, but I'm sorry. The Bible teaches that it is. And so we're just going to see tonight what the Scripture says. It tells us that baptism is a type that we need to obey and a type that we need to follow. Amen. Jesus Christ Himself is our example. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is Paul's preaching of the gospel in a nutshell. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Amen. And how does that apply to us? We also have to die to sin. After sin's dead, we bury sin. That's baptism. And then we rise to walk in the newness of life, and we walk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the resurrection that we experience with Jesus Christ. So we follow Jesus in all of these steps. Amen. Death and repentance. Baptism is burial. And then, of course, receiving the Holy Ghost is resurrection. Praise God. I believe that it's going to really resurrect us one of these days. Amen. The songwriter said, "Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm going to get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down." And it's not going to hold it down whether I'm dead or whether I'm living. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Praise God. And so Jesus then is our great example, and we are simply following him in all of these particular steps that we're talking about here today. Romans says, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up for the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here again is the same principle we just talked about. Amen. You don't bury things that are not dead, at least you shouldn't. Amen. Praise God. I heard about an old guy that he had this old mule that he just loved so much. He couldn't shoot him, though he was just, you know, so infirm he could barely stand. So he decided, well, I'll just bury him alive. I can't bear to kill him. So he dug a deep hole and he led the old mule down in the hole, and he started covering him up. And every time he'd throw in some dirt, the old mule would put it under his feet. And so when he got through, he was still standing on the ground just like he was when he started. Amen. That's what happens, you see, when we don't repent of sin. Amen. We can go down in the waters of baptism. That's supposed to be burial. But if we don't repent of sin, get rid of sin, turn away from sin, then it's still alive and standing when we get through. Amen. So death to sin is repentance, isn't it? Some people think that repentance is just saying, I'm sorry, but it's more than that. It's an about face. That's what it means. It means turning around. Amen. You're going in sin, you're going one way, you turn around, you walk the other way. That is what true repentance is. And so then after that, we have baptism. Baptism is a type of bearing our sins, getting rid of our sins. I'm so glad God made a way to get rid of sin, aren't you? Praise God. He made a way to deal with it. Praise the Lord. And we can through the waters of baptism. And then we rise to walk, he said, in the newness of life. Amen. And then Jesus told us this. He said, verily, verily, the word means truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. That sounds like he, again, has been authoritative. He said, except a man be born of water and of spirit. Praise God. I believe that's water baptism and spirit baptism. Water baptism is when we're immersed in the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Spirit baptism is when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's, again, just simply what the scriptures teach us. And that's what Jesus particularly said. There are some covenant seals in the Bible that teach us these same lessons. When God made a covenant with Noah, do you remember what he did? He gave him a reference point. Genesis 9:13, I do set a bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So the Lord put a rainbow in the sky to remind, that's a covenant that he's not going to destroy the earth again with water, as he did in the time of the flood. So God told Noah, I'm going to put a covenant, a sign of a covenant. It's something that you can look back to and you can refer to, and you say, God and I made a deal. And that's what the rainbow is. Then Abraham in Genesis 17:10, the Lord said, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shall among you shall be circumcised. So circumcision then was a sign of a covenant that God made with Abraham. And it was a reference point that they could look to and say, this is a covenant that God and I have made. Amen. Baptism is very similar. It's also a covenant seal. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision, made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So you see, he's again referring, there is a reference point for Christians, a covenant that we make with Jesus Christ. And that covenant, the seal of that covenant, is baptism. The reference point of that covenant is baptism. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, when the devil comes knocking on my door and trying to discourage me because of some past sin, you know what I do? I just point to baptism. Hallelujah. And I just say, hey, Satan, I was baptized in the name of Jesus in the waters of baptism, and my sins are gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so there is a sign that you can point to in life that lets people know, hey, you have been born again. You've been baptized. Let's look at some New Testament examples of baptism. This is at the day of Pentecost, after Peter has preached, and people are under great conviction. They ask a question, remember? They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is Peter's answer. Then Peter said, repent, turn around. And then he said, and be baptized if you want to. Uh-oh. I have it up here. I can't get away with that, can I? He said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, you remember in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we read about the name, didn't we? It said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say the name. The name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am a father, but that's not my name. That's a title. I am a son, but son is not my name. That's a title. I am a husband, but that's not my name. I am a pastor, but that's not my name. You see, you are many things, but he's talking about one particular name here. And then on the day of Pentecost, they reveal that name, didn't they? That name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the name that all through the New Testament, people were baptized into. Amen. They were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he said, for the remission, the removal, the blotting out of sins. Bible times, when they wrote with ink that had no acid in it, like we have today. You write with ink today, what happens? You can't erase it, right? At least not with tearing things up. Because it has acid in the ink, and it literally eats and etches its way into the paper that you write on. But in Bible times, it didn't have that acid in it. So if you made a mistake, you just reached over and got a blotter. And you could just blot it out. And it was gone. Amen. That's what David was referring to when he said, blot out my sins, O Lord. You could just blot it out. Amen. I love computers. I like writing on computers. I hate writing on typewriters. Dear Lord, don't ever bring those things back. Amen. I don't get along with typewriters. When I get through with typing something on a typewriter, it's got more white out than it does paper. I don't get along with typewriters. Amen. But you know what I like about a computer? Whenever you make a mistake, you just reach over, there's a little button called delete. I delight in delete. You just reach over and you, boom, you hit delete and zoom, it's gone. Amen. In Never Never Land somewhere. Baptism is a type of delete. Praise God. When you go down and you punch Jesus' name, hallelujah, and you go down in the waters of baptism, your sins are blotted out as far as God is concerned, and He's the judge. Amen. It doesn't matter that the devil remembers, and it doesn't matter that other people remember, and it doesn't even matter that you remember. What matters is that the one that has authority and the one that passes judgment does not remember. He blots out your sin. That's what the Bible means by remission of sins. And then there's a promise. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't ever doubt that. Praise God. The only thing, there's two things that can keep people from getting the Holy Ghost. One of them is sin, unrepented sin. And the other is doubt. Amen. If you have repented of your sin and you don't doubt, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. It's just going to happen. All right. And so the Bible says we are to be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. In a little later on, Acts chapter 8, Philip, the evangelist, was walking along, and the Lord took him to a certain place way out in the middle of the desert. And he saw this man that was riding in a chariot, and he was reading the Bible, and the Holy Ghost said, attach yourself to that chariot. So he ran over to where the man was, and he looked, and he was reading Isaiah 53. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, well, how can I accept somebody? Tell me. Amen. And the Bible said that he began right there telling him about Jesus Christ. Hey, you can preach Jesus from anywhere in the Bible. You can preach Holy Ghost from anywhere in the Bible. Praise God. Doesn't matter where we start. That's where we're going to wind up. Amen. We're always going to wind up at Pentecost. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important that we do that because that's where it all is supposed to head to, because that was the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible said, he apparently talked to him about baptism, because verse 36, and as they went their way, they came to a certain water. By the way, have you ever had talk to somebody about baptism and they say, oh, but what if I'm out in the middle of the desert and there is no water? Well, there's the answer right here. Because that's where this guy is. If you're sincere in heart, even if you're in the middle of the desert, God's going to see to it that you get a chance to be baptized. Amen. Praise God. And so he's out in the middle of the desert and they're riding along, and all of a sudden the Bible said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now listen to this. And they went both, and they went down both into the water. Into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, amen, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So you see what's going on here? They came to the water. They both went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water. It's a lot of water. That's a lot of water, isn't it? Amen. So you see, the sprinkling was later brought into the church much, 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 much later. It was not an apostolic doctrine. Amen. In Bible times, they always baptized by immersion. And if ever there was a reason not to, it would have been while they're out in the middle of the desert, right? Philip just could have carried around a canteen. But the Lord didn't do it that way. He provided them water in the desert, so that a man could be baptized the way he commanded people to be baptized. And so they were baptized, and this is a biblical example of baptism. Now, the Apostle Paul was baptized in Acts chapter 9, verse 18. It said, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, let me give you Paul's example of this, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, he's given his testimony. And this is what he said. Ananias said, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." What is the name of the Lord? Paul knew that, didn't he? When he was stricken on the road to Damascus and he saw that bright light, he was knocked to the ground. He looked up and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You see, Paul knew what the name of the Lord was. So he was baptized in the name of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And so that was a biblical baptism, wasn't it? And then the Samaritans were baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In verse 16, talking about the Holy Ghost, "For as yet he," the Holy Ghost, "was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So we know how the Samaritans were baptized. Amen. And if he baptized the Samaritans in Jesus' name, he must have also baptized the Ethiopian officer in Jesus' name, because that happened just a little later in the same chapter. Amen. And then at Cornelius' household, this is the first Gentiles. Amen. The Bible said the Lord sent Peter down there, and when he got there, he goes in and he preaches, and while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on people. Amen. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, if I get the Holy Ghost, do I still need to be baptized?" Well, let's see. Now, they got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then Peter says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he, what? Commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so you see, biblical baptism, when they got the Holy Ghost, some people get the Holy Ghost before they're baptized. Some people get the Holy Ghost after they're baptized. Some people get the Holy Ghost while they're being baptized. But the important thing is that you get baptized and that you receive the Holy Ghost. Whatever order it comes in, that's just what needs to happen. Amen. And so the Cornelius' household, which was the Gentile believers, were baptized in Jesus' name. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse number 1 through 6, Paul came to a place in Ephesus, and he found some of John's disciples. Look at verse number 2. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether it be any Holy Ghost." And what did he do then? He said unto them, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" See, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said, "Well, what about baptism? You hadn't received spirit baptism. What about water baptism?" Now, get this. They said unto John's baptism. Now, let me explain something here. The only difference in the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus Christ was the name. John baptized unto repentance. I don't know what word he used particularly, but that was what he baptized into. Amen. And these people had already been baptized that way. And then whenever they met Apostle Paul, he said, "Well, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name." I've had people ask the question, "Well, Pastor, what happens if I've already been baptized?" Well, biblically, if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just what's happening here in the book of Acts, chapter 19. Amen. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, the Bible said, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. So you see, that's biblical baptism, isn't it? Amen. Something happens when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And then in the book of Acts, also chapter 18, verse 8, There was a man by the name of Crispus. Called him Crispy for short. I don't know about that. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Apparently then he was Jewish, right? Believed on the Lord with all of his house, all the people in his house, all of his family members. And that said, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Amen. Acts chapter 16, how Paul baptized a lady by the name of Lydia, and that brought a great revival also in the city of Thyatira. So all through the Bible, people were baptized, and there's a certain method that we glean, certain principles that and through the Bible we glean from baptism. One thing that they all had in common is that they were baptized by immersion in water. Secondly, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the remission. And thirdly, they were baptized for the remission of sins. Amen. So those are the essentials of biblical baptism. It's very important tonight that we believe that and that we hold on to this. Now, I understand tonight there's a lot of people that, a lot of churches, a lot of people that do not baptize in Jesus' name. Well, I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible teaches, and I'm just going to keep believing that because that's just what he said. Amen. So you see, I don't really have an option if I want to believe and just be biblical, and I do. I have more confidence in the Bible than I do in any religion. Amen. That includes United Pentecostal Church. Amen. I love the United Pentecostal Church. I'm a part of the United Pentecostal Church. I've always been a part of the United Pentecostal Church. I hope to remain a part of the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. But this is first, folks, right here. And what this says is right and true because this is the Word of God. So if, God forbid, the United Pentecostal Church should ever change something that was not biblical, then that we couldn't remain with that. Amen. But you know what? So far, everything I've discovered doctrinally in the United Pentecostal Church is biblical. Amen. And believe me, I've spent a lot of time studying to make sure that it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We've spent thousands, and today I was wondering how many hours have I studied the Word of the Lord. But it doesn't matter. The fact is, every doctrine that we teach as doctrine of salvation is a biblical doctrine. And this is a biblical doctrine, folks. Amen. Praise God. There are some folks that have said that, well, you know, Christian doctrine was being developed. And it was not fully developed until 500 or 600 years after Christ. What? Hello? What do you mean? Are you saying that doctrine gets more pure after the master teacher died? Are you saying then that what they taught 500 years later that contradicts what Jesus taught is more correct than what he taught himself? Are we believing then that men 500, 600, 800 years down the road from Christianity and from the day of Pentecost, from the apostles, taught a purer doctrine than the apostles taught? I don't think so. Amen. Hey, folks, let's don't move down. That's what some people believe, progressive revelation. No, I believe biblical revelation. Amen. Praise God. Just go back to what it says. It says what it says. It means what it says. Amen. And we'll always be safe if we just stay with what the Word of God teaches us. Amen. John said, in these three, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Amen. The Spirit, of course, is Spirit baptism. Amen. We are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And then the water talks about water baptism. It's important that we're baptized in water. It's a biblical type, again, of what? Burial. Amen. Getting rid of sin. It's burial. Praise God. And how does the blood come into this? Amen. The blood is what washes away our sins. You see, right now, your physical body receives its strength from blood. What happens when you cut the blood off of a member of your body? That's right, it dies, doesn't it? When I was here in Athens many, many years ago, I was working a night job, and so I would get home and sleep, you know, in the daytime. I'd get home about 7 o'clock in the morning and go to bed. And so I went in there and crashed, you know. I was sleeping, and I was sleeping on my arm somehow. And when I rolled over, it just stayed. It didn't turn over with me. So I literally reached over with my other hand. I picked it up, and I flipped it. And about that time, I remembered my wife was sleeping on the other side. But it was too late. It had no strength. It landed right across her nose. I had to reach over with the same hand and pull it off of her nose. And I was in trouble. Amen. But thank God she's a forgiving person. Amen. Amen. And so everything turned out all right. The swelling went down in a few days, and it was all okay. Amen. But you see, blood's important, isn't it? But the blood is for cleansing, for washing. Amen. All the way back in the Old Testament, you remember those sacrifices. The blood was shed. You see, God chose blood or death to sin. And that's what He chose to cover Adam and Eve's sin. Amen, was blood. But not the blood of that animal that he was slew. That was just a type and a symbol. Amen. And I've always thought, Adam and Eve, how they must have felt. I don't think they'd ever seen anything die. They'd never seen anything die. They didn't eat meat in those days. And so they never saw anything die. And so here they, for the first time, they saw the light of life extinguished out of the eyes of a living creature. And they watched its blood stain the ground. And they felt the covering of that skin as it was put on their bodies to cover their nakedness. And that blood was to just kind of let them know this is a sin covering. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So the blood's important. How's the blood applied? In the name of Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism. That's how the blood is applied to your life. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so these three agree in one. The one, of course, is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, thank God for baptism. Amen. Praise God. One of our missionaries in the country of Africa was preaching, having revival, and he got things stirred up. He got things so stirred up that the witch doctor, and they do exist, came to his house. And he told him, he said, "Preacher, he said, I am going to embarrass you in front of your congregation. I'm going to name your sins." And the preacher said, "You can't do that." He said, "Yes, I can." He said, "I have done it to every Christian missionary that has come to our village, and I will do it to you." And so the witch doctor did his mumbo jumbo and all of his concoctions and contusions and whatever. And when he got through, he had this puzzled look on his face. And the pastor said, "What's wrong?" He said, I can't see your sins." He said, "I don't know why I can't see your sins." And the missionary said, "I can tell you why." He said, "I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And my sins are gone. They've been removed." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They're gone. Amen. Hey, there's something to this baptism. There's something. There's power in this baptism. Amen. Brother Dross wrote in one of his books in Mexico, they were baptizing, have a baptismal service. And he was getting ready to baptize this girl. And somebody cried out from the bank and said, "You can't baptize her. She has a devil. She's demon possessed." Brother Dross was so carried away in the Holy Ghost, he said, "Well, he better get out or I'm going to baptize him in Jesus' name." You know what? He baptized that girl and he came out. The spirit came out of that woman and went into her mother-in-law. Amen. Then they cast it out of the mother-in-law and baptized her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, this name is powerful. And this name is essential. And this name is necessary. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism is both word and deed. Yes. Amen. It's important tonight to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you very much for your time, for your attention. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for biblical baptism. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that I've been buried in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Since the name of the Lord has been revealed. Praise God. Amen. Are you glad today that you've been baptized in the name of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can be. Hallelujah. Amen. We're always ready. We're always ready. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. I think we ought to praise God right now together and just bless His name. Jesus Christ, we're very thankful to you tonight. Who could have come up with such a wonderful plan of salvation but God Himself? That you came and exemplified salvation. Amen. The great drama of salvation, death, burial, resurrection. You died, you were buried, you resurrected. And you let us follow you in the same footsteps. Praise God. Amen. We die with you through repentance to sin, death to sin. Then we are baptized with you. We're buried in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we follow you in the resurrection of the new life of the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.